So it is a slave. That's what it means. Simon Peter, a bond servant. That means a slave. Okay? And what? Every slave has a master. Well, you cannot be a slave and not have a master. But he says, I'm a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So the word apostle means the sent one. So I am a slave, but I'm also a sent one of Jesus Christ. Now, you got to understand, this is another level of following Christ, because he says, I am a slave to Jesus. In other words, I've submitted my will to his will. I have yielded to his ways. I am a slave to Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus has become the master of my life. And I find that many times that's where our struggle is, whether we will let ourselves become slaves of Christ or we'll become people that negotiate our way out of obedience to him. But he says, I'm a servant, I'm a slave. He has become my master, because when you become a slave, you forfeit your own will.
Yes, yes.
And what did he say how we should pray? Father, I pray that not my
will be done,
but your will be done. And I don't know about you, but it's a constant struggle in my own life every time to try to put my own will down and find God's will. Because God's will many times is not what I want to do. But when you are not just a claiming follower, but a servant and a slave, it makes you say, you know what? God, what is your will? What would you have me do? What is it that you want me to do? And what you want me to do, God, is what I want to do. And he says, I am a servant. I am a slave. When it comes to Jesus Christ, my will ceases to rule. When it comes to the master, it is his will, his way of doing. Typically, now, many... How many of you know that you all have been on a vacation? And especially this time, a lot of people add vacationing, going places. But when you are going to a vacation, you're going to a place that typically is enjoyable, relaxing, and you just want to get there, have a good time, and you have a date that is safe. And that date relieves you of all the demands of everyday life. So you are looking forward to getting there. And when you're looking forward to getting there, you're excited because you're going on vacation. Actually, you're working hard so you can go on vacation. You are getting things done efficiently. You're like, I gotta get this. You begin to streamline your life because you are going on a vacation. If you have a cat, you find somebody to take care of that cat. If you find a dog, you find somebody to take care of that dog, because somebody is going on vacation. There's an excitement. There's an excitement about it. You're like, man, I can't wait. However, the journey to the vacation, the process to getting to the vacation is always not fun. It is not exciting. If you're going to fly, you're probably going to find turbulence in the sky, or you're going to be delayed. All your luggage may go missing. Or planes may be delayed. The journey to the vacation oftentimes is not fun. It's not exciting. And there's always, but you always press in. You always press through because you're looking forward to where you're going. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
If you're driving and you have little ones, they keep bugging you, asking you, are we there yet? It's too far. When are we getting there? I want to pee, Dad. I want to, you know. And the pressure of driving to the place is not fun. And kids are fighting in the back. And it's not exciting. It's a long drive.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're going on a vacation. And I want you to imagine that you and I are on a journey to a vacation in the presence of God. That's why we sang that third song, that I can't imagine when I get into your presence. But the journey to our vacation in the presence of Jesus is not smooth. It is not smooth. There is ups and downs. There is disappointment, discouragement, that sometimes the luggage gets lost. Sometimes the plane is delayed. Sometimes you hear the turbulence of life. But you keep your eyes to the point that you are going on a vacation. You never quit going on a vacation just because it's too far. You don't quit because the kids are bugging you in the back of the car. You don't quit because the planes has been delayed. You stay the course and there are ups and downs, but you say, I'm going.
Yes.
You think about football teams, you know, the Super Bowl winning team. By the time they're celebrating and everybody's doing a parade and they're celebrating them, oh, you're the champions, they've gone through extraneous situations, circumstances that have been painful, hardworking, injuries, ups and downs, wins and losses, but they got there.
Yes.
My prayer, Jesus said, many will start, but few will finish. And he say, those who endure to the end. Not those who begun in the beginning, but those who endure to the end will be saved. So I'm praying that no matter the ups and downs of life, no matter the challenges of life, no matter how the journey is going for you, that you stay focused because there is a vacation. Better than any vacation you've ever seen. Better than you ever. I mean, your vacation may be 100 years from now. Glory to God. Maybe 50 years from now, 80 years from now, whatever it is. You want to stay the course. You want to stay the journey. Amen. He says, I'm a servant. That means I'm yielding to Christ. I'm going to do his will. And you see, here's what I think, guys. That this journey, you cannot effectively, successfully finish it on your own. You didn't begin it on your own, and you can't finish it on your own. It was the Spirit of God that got you saved, and you need the Spirit of God to finish it. And you can't finish. You see, the thing is that we started with God. And the devil will spend his life trying to convince us to do it on our own. But we started with God. And we cannot finish it. Just like any vacation you're planning to go, you can't just go it on your own. I mean, you need a plane ticket or you need a car. You need something to get there. You can't just dream it and get there. And the same thing, you cannot finish this course, this journey to get there on your own. And there's a need to have this desperation for God and for his presence in our lives to make it to the end. Yes. To finish this course. And, and here's what I believe, that one of the greatest expression of your need for God is expressed on your knees.
Amen.
Can I say that again?
Yeah.
The greatest expression of your need for God is expressed on your knees.
Amen. Thank you.
If you never bend your knee in prayer, it's also an expression stating, I got this, Lord. I got this. I don't need to pray about it. I got it. So when this prayerlessness in my life, it's an indication saying, I got it. I got it. I really got it. I don't need God. I got it. I can do this. I can push through. I can make it to the end. I can stand before Jesus. I can get there. And I want to say, friends, that there's not a man that ever met it that never needed him. That never needed him. And we live in a culture where it's constantly convincing you that life is easy. will make your life comfortable, will give you everything you need, and everything is in the palm of your hands, or is it to think that you can do it without Him? I cannot get to the end without a devotion to Jesus.
Amen.
There gotta be a devotion to Christ. There gotta be a devotion to Christ. There gotta be a devotion to Christ. This devotion to Christ is what brings in a lot of grace in your life. Grace to finish, grace to go forward. And that's why I'll never stop encouraging you to pray. I'll never stop telling you, you gotta give yourself to prayer. Now, you may give yourself to prayer or you may not give yourself to prayer, but I'll never stop telling you that you got to give yourself to prayer. You gotta take prayer seriously in your life, because prayer is when you express to God, God, I need you today. I need you this week. I need you this year. I need you every moment of my life, because the turbulence in life, there are wins and losses, there are ups and downs. And for me to make it to the end, I need to pray. And I know that when it comes to prayer, some of us just like, that is for someone else. I'm not getting it. But I'm telling you, you can never be effective as a Christian. You can never know God's presence. There are things in your Christian walk you'll never know, never experience, unless you commit yourself to pray. A lot of people say, I don't have time to pray. I gotta go. I gotta get somewhere. In the morning, I don't have time to pray. I gotta go to work. See, prayer never wastes your time. Prayer will never waste your time. Prayer saves your time.
Amen.
Okay? When you pray, it saves you time. You may not even know. You may think, well, I don't have this 15 minutes to get my day started with God, because I got to go. But I'm telling you, if you only did that, it will save you hours through your day. Just because there's now grace on your life, there's now a supernatural hand on your list, something that comes on you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
This journey you're on, friends, you cannot do it without depending on Christ. And you can unless you give yourself to prayer. Prayer matters. And I want to encourage you, as a church, we pray every, once a month. And I know that some of you can make it. And I know others logistically may not be able to make it. But if you can make it, I want to encourage you to make it. Corporate prayer. Be in a place where you pray and begin to test the presence of God. It will change. You build momentum on that. It will begin to do great things in your life. And I just want to encourage you for that, because the journey we're on, we cannot do it without depending on God in prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Now, look at the next verse. It says, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So whatever I need to be, that God wants me to be, He has already put it inside of me. Everything that I need to be, God has already put it inside of me. He says His divine power has granted to me all things. So it's already in me. Just like a baby, when a baby is born, whatever the baby needs to be, to have whatever hairstyle, hair kind of hair, to be any height, to be any whatever, anything about them that they need to be who God made them, is already in that baby. Whether they can do it now or can do it, it's already in them. If God has created them, say, to sing, they may cry all day long, but the ability to sing is already in them. Because it's in there. Just because they can't do it doesn't mean they don't have it. And just because you can't do certain things right now doesn't mean they're not in you. Well, he says, I have given it to you. It's already inside of you.
Yes, yes.
how God created you, how God designed you, how God wired you, is all leading to a destiny that he created you for. Think about the greatest athletes or the greatest musicians or the greatest whatever. Easy to think that when they were baby, it was all in them. And think about the person who had no connection or no sense of, I don't think science is the right word, but a person who had no coordination for sports at all. It was in them when they were born. It lacked when they were baby. It wasn't there. So you can't make him let it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's not in you, you can't bring it out later. But if it's in you, God has already put it in you. And the things in us that God has already put in us wired us certain ways. And here's what it says, through the knowledge of him. So knowledge plays a key factor. If you don't know, then you can't cultivate it. You can't discover that. You gotta know. How did he wire me? How did he create me? How did he design me? Because it's already in me. How do I bring it out? I don't want to step into eternity without ever knowing what was inside of me, because it's a waste of divine resources that God has already put in you. Can I get an amen? He said, whatever God put in you, at the end of it, it's all back for his glory.
Yes.
It's all back for his essence. So this is why knowing you, it's important, because God is the, you're made in the image of God. And as you focus on Jesus, he begins to reveal more of you. And when you get to know more of you, you can flow into what God called you to do. And so is his grace. Amen?
Amen.
Now look at verse 10. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters,
amen,
y'all included, be all the more diligent. So God says, be diligent about this. Like, take it seriously, care about it. He says, be more diligent to confirm your calling and election. See the word confirm? Mm-hmm. It's not just getting something for the first, it's confirmation. It's, there must be some kind of knowledge, some kind of traits. Okay, I see some traits, now I need a confirmation. So you say, there's a way that God created you, there's a way God wired you, there's a way God designed you, okay? Now confirm that election, because if you've been called of God, there is a choice, a choosing inside, there's an election. Like, God voted you, God chose you. You know, we use the word of election as, you know, casting a ballot for somebody you want. Here God says, I also cast a ballot for you, because there's a way I wanted you. There's a place I had for you. There's a thing I had for you. There's a way I designed you to do something, because I chose you for that very thing. And he says, I want you to confirm it. Confirmation means now I have to take part, because God is not just going to come out in my dream and say, hey, John. He wants me to be on a journey to confirm the election, to confirm that calling. God says, I have a calling on your life. You need to confirm it.
Amen.
Is that amazing? There is something inside it. There's a way. Nobody is here today called by God that has no purpose, no assignment. Every one of you, every one of us, whether you ever do it or not, whether you ever live for it or not, it doesn't change the fact that when God created you and called you, he put some in you to do.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It says, be diligent, more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, okay, you will never fall. Once you know him, you depend on him, you find out how he created you, how he designed you, what he put in you, the calling on your life. Because not all of us are supposed to be preachers. Not all of us are supposed to be pastors. But every one of us has a calling from God. I find that calling, then I want to walk in it. I want to practice what I believe, how God created me, how he designed me. I need to flow in it. And he says, if I do that, I won't fall.
Amen.
People fall a lot of times because have no sense of direction, have no sense of significance, and they try to find it in a beer bottle, in some drugs, in Jack Daniels, some, you know, it's crazy. Somebody took me out to, okay, you guys are going to laugh at me, all right? And I'm going to tell you, you're going to laugh at me. This is how ignorant I was. Somebody took me out to lunch last Sunday, and people were getting drinks and stuff and lunch, and I looked back and I said, why is that drink like that? What kind of drink is that? They laughed like, oh, that's Blood Mary. Oh, is it Blood Mary? Is that what I call it?
Blood Mary.
Yeah. Oh, what is Blood Mary? Like, oh, okay. I was like, I laughed at myself. I'm like, how ignorant I am. But I'm glad I'm ignorant as well to stuff like that, you know? Because I just like, it's funny. She laughed at me. But this was a real... she laughed at me because I didn't know, you know, but it's okay because, you know, when you find Jesus, you know, he satisfies. People get lost because you're trying to find something in every other thing, but I want to encourage you, man, let's just go crazy about Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So, I was just being vulnerable there. But calling and election. So what we've been trying to do this month is just help you discover your calling, your election. It matters. You see, there are two different layers. You know, there's your natural design, how God created every one of us with a unique thumbprint, with a uniqueness in how he created us. But there's also a spiritual part when you got saved, okay? Then there's also when God puts spiritual gifts inside of you. Does that make sense? So the calling, that drives to your design in a natural sense, okay? But election is when you get the Spirit of God inside of you and God puts spiritual gifts inside of you. Make sense?
Yes.
So last Sunday, some of you were here and we gave you time to fill out a questionnaire. The whole thing of doing this, this is a spiritually, a Christian-based, Holy Spirit-filled man of God, science men that are filled by the Spirit of God, a Christian organization that are developing these resources. And our church is tapping into that to just help us discover our calling and election. We want to confirm how God designed us.